The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Hey everybody, I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
Welcome to the third episode of ReviewParty.com. On this podcast, we look at various reviews, various weird little funny little reviews from around the internet, and we showcase them for y'all.
Somehow you made it back. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. You know, episode 3 is a big deal. I bet a lot of podcasts crash and burn around episode 2.5. Do you feel that?
Yeah, that honeymoon phase is over, and suddenly you're looking just at the microphone or at the person on the other side of the table, and you realize I was never really in love.
Yeah, or you're sitting, the honeymoon phase clears, just like you said, the fog wisps away, and you can see clearly, and you see the mountain of work ahead of you. For likely no immediate, that good shit that millennials need, that instant gratification.
That gratification is going to be delayed.
Yeah, so I thought, and we've made it past all that. We're on episode 3. We're ready to officially launch these suckers into the universe shortly. We launched these suckers into the universe, and I thought, you know, to celebrate, I would, just a little behind the scenes, you know, when you're working with someone on a creative project like this, I think communication is key. You know, we always try and keep each other updated on what we're working on, so we're, you know, there's no double work being done, and and we're on the same page with everything, right? But also sometimes you work on a little thing and just show it to them, just like, hey, look what I did. What, you think this is cool?
Look at the walls, Dad. I painted.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it's like, that's a little pea green. And sometimes, most of the time, it's like, oh, man, that's so cool. Thank you so much for taking initiative and doing that. Mm-hmm. That was sick. So I've got one of those little surprise things today.
Uh-oh.
I went ahead and got a ReviewParty.com mascot that I'd like to introduce you to.
Okay.
This is Helga, the Amazon reviewer. And you know, hello, and hey, Helga, and you might think Amazon reviewer, the website Amazon we talk about a lot, but I went ahead and put a little spin on that, and our mascot is a giant fantasy Amazon warrior, Helga. Nice to meet you, Matt, little man. Good to meet you. Hello.
It's good to meet you, Helga.
What do you think? She's great, right?
She's imposing. She's as big as Julia Child.
She's bigger, I think. Julia Child is but small child to me. See, I already taught her some little jokes. That was good, right?
That was good. She's like a Terminator, but better.
Like, yeah, you should see this sword. Does little Matt want to see sword?
I've never been asked that by a woman, let alone a giantess such as yourself.
It is 5 stars, Yelp review. See, she's sort of, she's already on brand, you know? I had to tap into my savings, but I thought it would be worth it. What do you think?
There's always room at the party.
Oh, all right, thank you, Helda. You know, go get yourself a coffee. Thank you. I will see you on the road, mini fans.
Bye, Helga.
And that was Helga, the ReviewParty.com mascot, Helga the Amazon reviewer. I figure, you know, we'll bring her back and she can sit in and do a couple of reviews later as her training gets complete. What do you think?
It seems like a sound decision.
All right. you got a review for us.
Yeah. Speaking of sound decisions, it seems like it's one of those to stay at the Hotel Z, Stay Pineapple Hotel in San Diego.
What a segue, folks. We got a professional here.
I'm used to segues. This review comes from TripAdvisor user Island Girl Mon.
Okay.
Great stay in San Diego. We had a great time in San Diego, and Hotel Z Stay Pineapple Hotel made it even awesomer. The hotel staff was incredible, the room was great, and the whole sleep naked thing? Yeah! I so want those blankets! The cookies were good, the room had everything we needed, and I would definitely and most likely only stay there again. The location was great, walking distance to everywhere in Gaslamp. Thank you so much for your hospitality. 5 stars on everything. But I'm going to stop you before you even react there, because this has a response from the general manager, Matthew Anderson. So no relation.
Does it address the elephant in the room? The big naked elephant?
Let me just speak.
Okay.
This is the awesomest review. Thank you. The naked experience in the bedding is a sleep so well you don't remember it kind of night. Luxurious, right? And he goes on to talk about some other things. But yeah.
What?
Apparently at this branch, at this chain of hotels, they advertise and almost push you to sleep naked in their beds.
Oh, Pineapple Z? Is that the name of it?
Stay Pineapple Hotels is the chain. This is Hotel Stay Pineapples. Z.
Oh, this is like, of the hotels, it's the, the Z location. Okay. Stay Pineapple sounds kind of like a One Piece arc. Luffy and the boys go to Stay Pineapple Islands and they gotta sleep naked in beds to escape. next bit. So, this lady loves this sleep naked shit. I don't know about you, but I have to do my best not to think about sleeping in a hotel when I'm sleeping in a hotel.
Yeah, and I don't want branding and advertisements everywhere saying, hey, it's clean. It's clean, honest. It's so clean you could sleep naked. We aren't pushing you to do that for any particular reason. There's no camera anywhere watching you when you sleep naked. We aren't sniffing the sheets or anything after you sleep naked.
Besides the hygiene aspect, because I am worried about that, I want to be clear. I feel like, just to put it out there, I can't help but think about the pube variable. Just the thought of a lone pube finding its way, wriggling its way out somewhere into the world.
The short hairs can stick around for a long time. I've seen bathroom floors too often to know that is the unfortunate case.
I'm canceling this hotel chain.
They also are very dog friendly from what I've read, so it just makes this whole place, it seems like you're living in a barn.
Sleep naked with your dogs like some I don't even know what kind of place they... Gypsy? That's... Is that racist?
I don't know.
We don't know. We'll check on the gypsy thing.
It just gross.
I just picture like some weird, like feral wolf child. This is you can bring your feral wolf child and their pack to this hotel chain.
Yeah, I picture the neighboring hotel, like right, they share a common wall or something, and they're across the street. They look across and just see naked people in every single room. Like, what's going on over there?
I mean, as like a 15-year-old boy, that would be, Mom, we got to go back to that hotel. Mom, that hotel was awesome.
What are they putting on the pillows at night? Something wild?
Dad, where's your hunting stuff? I need binoculars for the trip. No, I'm just getting into bird watching, Dad. Check this book I got out. Woo. That would be, and then you'd come across the room. Like it would be like Silent Hill foggy at night, but you're still trying to get your binoculars on, and there's a dark room, and you see some silhouettes, and thunder crashes, or lightning strikes, and illuminates what's inside, and it's just like a a bunch of feral wolves staring at you. And that's like an act of God. That's how he stops little boys from peeping. That's illegal.
Yeah, don't be a peeping Tom. The wolves will find you.
Speaking of feral wolves, I have got a Amazon review. This is for the product ZooBooks. I'm sure you fondly remember ZooBooks.
ZooBooks.
Yeah, those little books every library had. This is like on commercials of Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon all the time. Little national, mm-hmm. Baby's first National Geographic kind of. And very colorful in the 90s. Anyway, I've got a review from Amazon user CMT. The review is titled, "It Has Changed." It was reviewed in the United States on September 4th, 2019. And he writes, "Decades ago, I bought this subscription for my kids. It was very informative and full of factual information. The quality of the physical magazine itself was so high, I still have many old issues left that my grandchildren enjoy. ZooBooks has been taken over by some other outfit, and quality of information has plummeted, just as the language in kids' books has become simplified. So, too, has the information in ZooBooks. It is no longer worth the high price that the ZooBooks of yore were." The ZooBooks of yore. Oh, the ZooBooks of yore! It is still good, just not great. 3 stars.
So it's like pizza. It's good when it's good, and it's great when it's great. Pizza doesn't teach you anything.
Yeah, and I feel like it's also like pizza that this person just, grew more intelligent over the past decade.
It tends to happen over time. Hopefully. Yeah. Gain knowledge.
Their reading level went up, and they looked back at their little baby books, and they were like, "This is for dumb babies!
Why are there so many pictures?
Why are there big, beautiful pictures of all these beautiful animals that I'm learning about?" And then they just get mad. They just sort of, the high quality physical magazine itself crumples in their tightening grip. "This for dumb people," CMT explains.
"I've been reading Highlights for 15 years, and let me tell you, the moral lessons that Goofus and Gallant try to teach me have degraded. They don't tell me whether or not I should vote one way or another, and those are the problems I face every day."
Has Goofus and Gallant weighed in on Black Lives Matter yet?
I'm gonna have to check it out. I have been to my dentist recently, but they didn't have any of the magazines out.
Of course, those dentists suppressing information, hiding the important highlights chapters. Do you got a review?
Yeah, I got one that kind of goes along with a theme I sense here. This is a review for King Spa and Sauna in Niles, Illinois. It's a Korean spa.
Okay.
Sort of bathhouse. Michael Borowiak writes, "Strange feeling when totally naked guys look at each other. Didn't enjoy as I thought. 1 star.
He thought he was going to enjoy this sort of naked guys looking at each other thing. He did the research. He looked at some naked guys online and thought, "This is for me." But when they really looked back, it made him a little uncomfortable.
"I chose a spa where you're required to get naked in gender-separated locker rooms. That sounds like something I'm down for. Wait a minute."
Wait a minute here. What's going on here?
And he looks like the standard gruff dad. He's got his cheery red face smile. "I thought I was going to enjoy some naked men."
I feel like our generation might be the first generation that put the kibosh to, locker room showering. I mean, I did it after football sometimes. A lot of guys did. But as far as, most students, during gym class, No one's showering. That guy is, it sounds like that old fogey. I mean, he probably showered with some dudes in high school.
Probably they're slapping each other's behinds.
Hey, oh, yeah. Shit gets wild in there.
But you're right. I showered maybe after a couple of track meets.
Yeah. After football away games, that's about the only for sure time I'd do it. And like
separate showers. We got a little curtain.
Oh, you rich kids in Illinois got your own little curtain, huh?
That was the new athletic locker rooms, yeah.
They just threw us in like a big oven, like a big gas chamber filled with spouting spigots. You have to fight over one soap.
I have been in one of those. That was college track, so up in Wisconsin where the money hadn't traveled yet.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys, by the time you're in college, you would think you're mature enough to handle the situation. Maybe
I'm comfortable
a little bit
with the odd ding dong.
Right.
And I know where to
nothing I haven't seen before, you know, on a 4th of July.
It's true. Yeah.
Frying up on the grill.
Firecrackers.
Firecrackers and the sizzle of hot dog skin.
Yeah, one thing I take away is that Michael is probably not the targeted clientele for Stay Pineapple Hotels, because he's not going to want to be naked.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's going to be like, there, you know, I love this Stay Pineapple place, but they come in and they make you get naked before bed, and they were looking at
sir. Please remove your pants, sir.
I've seen this naked thing online, and I thought it was pretty cool, but, now I get my paws around. I feel like I'd be remiss if I have been to a Japanese hot spring.
Mm-hmm.
In which there's a nice little room where you store your stuff. You get all naked. You grab a towel. You go bathe before you get in the hot spring.
Of course, yeah.
Get all your nasties off. And, you know, you're sitting next to your buddy. That's really, like, old school. You got literally the spigot and, like, a bowl and, like, a little stool for a seat. You're just hunched over, like, washing yourself. It's really rustic, I guess I would say.
This sounds like a dating sim.
Yeah, it's exact. Yeah, it's very, it's very, a very, I live my weeaboo dreams. You know, sitting next to my best friend, bathing. and then, I don't know, you just, like, put the towel on, walk to your spot in the bath, and sit in the bath, and, yeah, it's like, oh, there's naked dudes everywhere. But that's just, like, a split-second thought, and then you think, then you act like an adult and go, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Also, I'm in a warm tub of water and it feels nice.
Yeah, warm with the earth natural salts and minerals, I'm sure, that the Korean spa provided.
Mm-hmm.
This guy got so hung. I guess what really, I think the core of it here, just to lay it out before we move on. This guy was so uncomfortable with himself in this a situation that people go through every day like it's nothing. You know, this is even a luxurious situation. And he couldn't, he was so distraught by it. He had to go leave was it a one-star review?
It was a one-star review.
Because he saw Ding Dong. And it made him feel not good.
He is the boomer version of that little baby gif where you run in the room and gotta get the heck out of here.
Except that blonde baby, he's got like a blue striped shirt. Right?
Except it's a 65-year-old man and he's naked.
He's naked and there's a virile young pup confidently displaying his body in a situation where it is totally natural and comfortable to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he went ar, and he turned around and ran. No, I don't like. It's like 4th of July in there. All the weenies on the grill.
Poor guy.
You want? I need a break.
Let's take one.
Let's take a goddamn break.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. if you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, as the past two episodes, we're going to jump into the Upon Further Review segment, where we take a look at things that we're somewhat familiar with, but looking at them in greater detail, we find out how much we never knew. Today, Brent, we're going to look at saccharin.
Saccharin. The sugar. The sugary Absolute. Sugar, right?
You read 1984. I read 1984. We know how... Like, oh, God, give me that saccharin tablet. I feel less oppressed. Well, you probably just assume saccharin. Oh, they wanted to develop, you know, a sugar substitute, right? They wanted to be healthy, right?
Right.
Let me tell you, wrong. Way back, cast your mind as far back as 1879.
Okay.
A scientist named Constantin Fahlberg was working on coal tar derivatives. Now, for listeners who were with us last week, you remember we talked about pine tar derivatives a little bit. This is coal tar, another sort of disgusting thing that you get from burning stuff at high temperatures.
Oh, so like some chemical cess.
Yeah, just pile. This goo. You've got this goo and you want to, we got this goo. What do we do with it? So Constantine was working with this goo, trying to figure out what to do with it. One night he went home and ate some of his wife's biscuits.
He ate some of his wife's goo.
I'm not one to say.
Continue.
He ate some of his wife's biscuits and he's like, dang, these are some sweet biscuits, honey. You never cook like this. And it wasn't until he licked his fingers that he realized, oh, the sweet's just on my hand.
Oh. He became the sugar boy.
He was sugar boy because he spilled some of the stuff he was working with on his hands and never washed it off.
What a slob.
Yeah, doesn't sound very safe. What sounds even less safe is that he went back to the lab and just started trying things to figure out what it was.
Oh my God.
That was a sweet sugar high, and I gotta get some more.
Yeah, he's sort of the first, little boy having sugary cereal, getting addicted to it. One too many Mountain Dews at the 10th birthday party.
Mm-hmm. More. So he was able to replicate the process by which he made the sweet stuff out of the bad goo. And now we have little ugly pink Sweet and Low packets in every single restaurant ever.
Sweet and Low, that's Sweet and Low now, huh?
Now, you might think, oh, is that stuff give you cancer? There's do we take it? Is it good? Is it not good? We've got some excellent presidential quotes on this, in fact.
Okay.
Starting in 1907, the United States Food and Drug Administration, they were investigating the saccharin compound. And the Bureau of Chemistry, he's like, this is bad stuff. Yeah. He told President Theodore Roosevelt, everyone who ate that sweet corn was deceived. Harvey Wiley, working at the FDA, viewed it as an illegal substitution of sugar by something that was less valuable than sugar. So he went up to President Theodore Roosevelt and he said, listen, Teddy, this is bad stuff. But Roosevelt himself was a consumer of saccharin.
In what form?
It doesn't say whether he enjoyed it in tea, in a Manhattan. I'm not sure how.
Right. Tea or coffee, probably.
Teddy Roosevelt loved himself some saccharin. And he said, quote, anybody who says saccharin is injurious to health is an idiot. And as you can imagine, Harvey Wiley ended his career. He was done after that. If Teddy Roosevelt shouts you down, you're never going to work again.
Yeah, you're not working again. You're never, you're never finding a lover again. You are.
That's the bull moose, man. He stomped all over you.
You're right.
Anyway, through the history, there have been, it's been a back and forth, a teeter-totter of concern and non-concern about saccharin. At this point, we think it's okay.
It doesn't. It's not too bad.
It's not considered a potential hazard to human health.
It's just not very good for you, right?
It's just not. Just try and be healthy.
Yeah, it's not much better than sugar at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of how I think about it.
Unless if you're a rat, it might do some bad things to you. But hey, as far as we know, we ain't rats.
Hey, I'm feeling pretty rat-like lately myself, which brings us to our next customer review.
Oh boy.
That segue was nonsense. The little rat children these days, they love their Fortnite. There we go.
Oh yeah.
We brought it together through the upright, baby. Segue complete. We got Monopoly Fortnite edition on Amazon here.
Ugh.
It is a custom review by Fagan Jr. It's F-A-G-A-N Jr.
Isn't that the guy in Oliver Twist?
Which one?
Fagan.
Never mind.
I've only ever seen Oliver and Company with.
No.
He's like.
Now I need to know.
The only Oliver Twist I have actually seen is the clip of "Please, Sir, I Want Some More." But Oliver and Company, the classic Disney animated film featuring the music and voice of Billy Joel, among others, Fagin is the hobo who hangs out with dogs and cats.
Oh, I see him now. Yeah, he's got a big nose and he's got like super like Homer Simpson 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, I love you. You dogs.
Oh, I don't really remember him. I've seen this movie 100 times when I was a kid.
You can stay here.
There is an entire Disney Wiki article about Fagin's scooter.
There was a notable scooter in cinematic history.
Well, this is his son, Fagin Jr. is writing this review.
Fagin Jr.
And he titled it "Good for the First Time." I still don't get Fortnite. Let me spice that up. I still don't get Fortnite, but my son loves it. And this game, period, capital P, plays very fast. I'm just reading it through. You can't highlight that kind of stupidity. Whew. I still don't get Fortnite, but my son loves it. And this game plays very fast, but not sure how many more times we will play it. After a couple of times, it just sits on the bookcase. 3 stars.
Good.
It's like he's never had a board game before.
It's like he's never played Monopoly before.
These people out here yelling at millennials for needing an instant amazing gratification and like never getting, playing with sticks outside. This guy's never played a board game. What board game have you played more than 3 times and then it spent majority of its time on the shelf?
Shelf's meant for books.
Right. I mean, I love Risk. 90% of Risk's life, and 98% of Risk's life is spent in my closet on the top shelf.
That's where it belongs, not on a bookshelf. It's in a closet, in a basement cupboard cabinet or something like that.
Yeah, but my point is, who's playing? I'm flabbergasted. How much like game time a week do you want out of a board? Do you expect out of a board game?
Yeah, Monopoly's not gonna change the next time you play it.
Yeah, it's even Saturday families that have like Wednesday night board game night. There's a heavy rotation of different games to keep it spicy.
You can't play the same thing every week.
Right, and I mean, I'm sure you got your faves heavy in the rotation.
Apples to apples, cranium.
What's the one all the college kids love? That's like apples to apples.
Cards Against Humanity.
Cards Against Humanity. I've had as much fun as I've had, and as many great memories I've got from Cards Against Humanity. That sucker's, collecting dust on the shelf. That
it gets old.
Yeah. What do you expect? What do you expect out of this? This guy doesn't, like, this guy sounds better off playing Fortnite. Fagin Jr. from Florida.
There's going to be variety there. There's going to be little people. There's going to be little children beating you, like, often. But it'll be different ones.
I've got a I've got hot off the presses. This just in. Researching Fagan Jr.'s recent activity. Mm-hmm. He rated Borderlands, the Handsome Collection, on the PS4, 5 stars. This game is great. The detail in the graphics is like a comic book and looks great, but don't know why it took so long for me to get into the series.
Does just want video games.
Yeah, this guy is a video game fan. The classic, like, oh, kids play Fortnite. Fortnite sucks. Who doesn't, but, you know, was like, well, I need to connect with my children. And so he got Fortnite Monopoly, thinking that would be the bee's knees, the cat's pajamas.
You can't bond over board games.
I can't psychoanalyze this madness.
You gotta have anymore. The infrastructure there before jumping in on something like that.
Yeah, this is unhealthy for me. I'm just trying to decipher these people's actions and thoughts. But, hey. Oliver, you want to start an Oliver and Company podcast?
I would love it.
Alright. Hit me with that next review.
Alright. This review comes from an interesting source. YankeeCandle.com.
Okay.
SunshineJan71 writes, Kabam! This is a review. Sorry. This is a review for Midsummer's Night. Mm-hmm. If you've ever smelled a Yankee Candle and you're like, man, that one smells like man. That's this candle.
It's like the colognish one.
She writes, Kabam! I'm surprised by how many people use the adjective soft to describe this scent. Perhaps I am oversensitive. I am a migraine sufferer, after all. But to me, soft it is not. It is a very good deodorizing scent with a strong throw, in my experience, and can border on the Night at the Roxbury sort of overly colognized 90s Jersey Shore end of the spectrum. No offense, my Jersey friends, or Chris Kattan. Use with caution,
Shout
however.
Out Chris Kattan. Shout out Chris Kattan. Thanks for listening, dude.
Use with caution, however, with enough open space and airflow, it can definitely be a refreshing, sensual mood setter. 4 stars.
So she's saying she thinks of Night at the Roxbury as some sort of pornographic material.
I think so.
And this is completing her, like, her sense spectrum during her pleasant time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No offense, Chris Kattan. Come on over later, why don't you?
Yeah, she looks at Will Ferrell. Virile young Will Ferrell in a 90s comedy classic, Night at the Roxbury. When did that come out?
90s.
90s, right? I don't want to... Did it come out? How old? Night at the... Yeah, 98. Okay, thank goodness.
Whew.
The 2000s were bad enough. It didn't need Night at the Roxbury in it to bring it down anymore.
She looked at Will Ferrell and she thought, nah. Too tall. What's with that forehead? Give me that little squirrely guy.
Give me that little Chris Kitt. I think, looking at Night at the Roxbury, I think if we had a successful goofy sketch in the 90s on Saturday Night Live, you know, in a different timeline, we mm-hmm. would be Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan in Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, I am squirrely.
Yeah, look, I'm looking at these guys right now. This is us in another life. This is us in another time.
I can be that idiotic.
Yeah.
It doesn't require much effort.
You know, I was ready to bash Night at the Roxbury. You know, for sort of quickly becoming outdated. You know, very of its time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now I see it in a sympathetic light. You know, I was on Saturday Night Live in the 90s with my small... squirrely friend, and I had a successful sketch, and someone approached me with a movie deal, and we had to stretch that 5-minute sketch into 2 hours. Oof.
Without the power of Jim Carrey, because he was in some of those original on Saturday Night Live sketches.
Without Rubberman Jim Carrey doing his funny faces the whole time.
Man.
And he was the king of the 90s.
He was. He was all over the place. And he passed on that.
Yeah, this is... I'm sorry, folks at home. This isn't very funny. I hope you're coming along on the trip of this this mind journey I'm having.
It does make me realize, though, that we fit that comedy archetype?
I think we could.
That if you've got Chris Kattan and Will Ferrell, the big and the small.
And I feel like, you know, I should lose some weight. Let's be clear.
You don't want to, yeah.
But Will Ferrell,
big ones.
Skinny Will Ferrell looks fucking weird. He's the kind of guy that's got to have a little meat on his bones.
A little bump.
So to the point, yeah, I feel like, yeah, I'm very much, oh, I got to get skinny for a movie? Okay, and then it looks weird. Just like Will Ferrell. And that's, I feel like Chris Kattan's haircut, that's the kind you would have
in the 90s. Know it.
I'm sure for the people that know us and know us well, this has been a little trip.
Better than David Spade and Tommy Boy when you find out he was wearing a wig the whole time. That like crushed me, seeing the little be embarrassed in that sense.
What, that made you felt like sympathetic embarrassment?
That was, yeah, because I'm the little, even at that point when I saw Tommy Boy.
So you were already like comedically and personally identifying with like the David Spade archetype.
The little, yeah. Even in Abbott and Costello, I Laurel and Hardy, I always identified with the little.
C-3PO and R2-D2.
I guess I didn't identify with either of them.
They're the classic fat guy, skinny guy.
They do fit it.
Yeah, you stretch you out a little taller, get you a little more effeminate and golden. Get you some golden undies. You're right there with C-3PO.
Yeah, I can handle my level of femininity. I'm not afraid to look at naked men.
That's true. We are not. Let the record show. ReviewParty.com and its affiliates are not afraid to look at naked men. I got a review to clean us up here.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Please, clean.
This is from Amazon. This is a review by J.B. Earnhardt. It is titled Excellent Quality Product. It is for a t-shirt. Let me paint a picture in your mind's eye. A men's gray t-shirt. With the in plain Arial letters across the chest, I let the dogs out.
Oh boy.
All right, you've completed your painting. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So this I let the dogs out t-shirt, she wrote, "The quality of this shirt is excellent. This is a Valentine's Day present for my husband. We have two large dogs that will only wake him up at night to go out. This is a joke in our house. I know he will love this shirt. 5 stars.
Man. This just makes me sad. Sounds like something my coworkers would be talking about. Oh, my wife, she got me this shirt. Here, I'll email you a picture of it. Oh, God. Just no.
No. And then it appears on your screen, the JPEG of the I Let the Dogs Out t-shirt.
They keep explaining it. And then like a month later, hey, how about that shirt there, Fred? What did it say? We go again.
Do you remember
email you. It's you a reference.
It is a reference to the Baha Men from the 90s. They sang a song. They said, "Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the?" And me and my wife. Let me email you another picture. Me and my wife. That's me and my wife. We have this joke in our house. In our house we have this joke.
Make it end.
That the dogs. They wake me up to let them out to pee-pee and poopy.
Oh.
They do not wake my wife out. So our joke in the house, she will ask me, who let the dogs out? Like the 90s Baha Men. And I will answer, I let the dogs out with my shirt. Let me send you another picture. That's me and my dogs in my shirt.
Fred, what was that restaurant that closed 20 years ago before this guy was born? Yeah. I'm older than 20. That was misleading, but that was a perfect picture painted of of what I go through when coworkers start talking.
Hey, don't ever. This is that kind of. This is what millennials have to put up with every day. People talking about their stupid ass "I let the dogs out" house joke. I like to call jokes in our house house jokes.
House rules, house jokes. Here we go.
When you, thanks for coming over for dinner, Matt. My wife and I are. We'd like to let you in on our house jokes, so you're not falling behind during dinner conversation. Then he hands you a pamphlet.
My son made this in PowerPoint.
It looks very nice, right? He has a future in graphic design. In PowerPoint. He's going to submit that. He's going to put that in his resume and submit big PowerPoints. He's going to do PowerPoints for a big company. Man, I could do this that job. I'm great at PowerPoints. I'm his son.
The bomb.
Yeah. PowerPoint, most powerful tool man has created.
We don't want no Prezi's up in here.
Prezi? Okay. Okay, okay. Are we going to derail into this me soapboxing about Prezi? Because I'll go off.
I had a blast with Prezi. I'm over it now.
Yeah, over Prezi, right? Prezi's a gimmick. Prezi's a sham. You listening out there, Prezi?
It's like that haircut you got that you thought looked really good, and you're like, oh, God, that was a mistake.
Prezi is all filler, all right? You got a shitty PowerPoint? Let me do some interesting bops and hops around the goddamn cyberspace.
Do a double corkscrew. Whoa.
You know, when you make a PowerPoint, it's just like visual aid. You should just be going for great visual aid. Prezi is like distracting. I'm going crazy. All right. I'm going off. If Prezi, you never offer to sponsor this show ever. All right. Not happening.
We won't take it.
We won't take it.
Won't bite.
Now, Microsoft Suite PowerPoint. Heck, even Google PowerPoint.
Google Slides.
Google Slides, dude. I'm all about it. You know, you can make a nice, simple, informative PowerPoint. And that's what I'm all about, goddammit.
I don't want that fluff.
I'm fired up. All right, we better end this goddamn podcast. Thank you to the listener. I just want serene, calming music washing over us. If you'd like to send in an absurd review for us to muse over, please email a hyperlink to the review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name so we can throw you the credit.
Credit.
How would you... Come in, Matt. Ask them to subscribe for me.
If you're listening to this somewhere where you can subscribe, please subscribe. If you're listening to this somewhere where you can review, do it. We need a review of us so we can make fun of us.
Oh, man. What a great segment that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, leave some funny reviews on iTunes. We'll definitely put them on the show.
It won't be self-serving in any way, shape, or form.
You know us. You know right. us. Oh, Annie, let's bring it back down here. Very big thanks to our buddies Nosebleeds for letting us use their jam, Bread for Breakfast. You can find more great tunes from them on Spotify. That's Nosebleeds, one word. You'll see our little Wisconsin Midwest post-rock boys in that little picture. They're looking a little cute. You won't miss
They're
them.
Lovely.
Lovely. Anything? You got anything else for us, champ?
Not unless you want a review to mull over for the week.
Oh, I've got one. Don't you worry. Here's a customer review to play us out from Dylan P. on Amazon. It is for the Blade USA Katana Oriental Sword 41.5 inch overall sword with sheath.
Whoa.
Dylan P. writes, it is, by the way, $21.99 for this katana. Dylan P. says, 4 to 5 stars, titled Epic. Body, epic. Thank you for listening. We are ReviewParty.com. We will see you next week. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
And take it easy, folks.